Just last year I read a superb book called Counterfeit Gods. Counterfeit Gods. And it's a book about the false gods or the idols that we worship. The book's written by a man named Tim Keller, who is the pastor of a large church in New York City. And Keller goes through our idols. He talks about sex, money, power, success. Towards the end of the book, Keller helps the reader to identify which idols they may be tempted to worship. And this is where the book gets pointy. This is where it makes you squirm. He asks questions like, what do you think about most of the time? He says that that can be a helpful guide to identifying idols. And it's true, isn't it? A good friend to Alison and I really loves rock climbing. And she told us there was a period in her life, many years ago, she's a Christian girl, a period in her time where all she could think about was cliff faces and how to ascend them. And she identified that it had become an idol. Where does your mind go when you're in the shower, when you're on the train? Keller asks more probing questions. He says, where do you spend your money? And he says, where do you spend your time? And this is the one that I want us to think about a little bit today. Where do we spend our time? Ask yourself the question. Bring up your calendar into your mind, your weekly program. What does it say about what's important to you? Or what does it say about who is important to you? Is it your children? Is it your children's extracurricular activities? Is it your TV viewing for the week? There's so much to fill our time with, isn't there? And there's so much that is so good to fill our time with. But often in life, the good can become the enemy of the best. It's been said, the main thing in life is to keep the main thing the main thing. But what is this main thing in life? And how do we keep the main thing the main thing? Well, let me lead us in a prayer. Why don't we ask God to help us before we dive into the passage? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can gather this morning and open your word in the scriptures. Father, there are so many good things to fill our time with. Help us to understand what is most important, we pray. Challenge us in your word, and we pray it for Jesus' glory. Amen. It's important that we remember the context. We're in a section in Luke's gospel talking about discipleship. We saw last week that a part of Christian discipleship is love for your neighbour. What does it mean to love your neighbour? It means to be a neighbour. To be a neighbour to anyone in our path who has a need, regardless of their race, regardless of their religion. We saw that that's Christian discipleship. And we saw as well, when the lawyer asked Jesus the question about discipleship, that it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's that question that Luke's answering in this part of his gospel. What does it mean to love God? Well, it means to listen to Jesus. And it means to prioritize listening to Jesus. It's to make Mary's choice and not Martha's. Have a look at the first couple of verses. Chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. This is a book by Hugh Mackay called The Good Listener. It's all about how to listen. And it's a great idea to read a book about how to listen because we all do a lot of listening. Hugh Mackay recognises that listening is at the heart of relationships. And he recognises that it's a loving and a generous thing to truly listen to somebody. Where the book helped me was that it showed me that listening is an active process, a thoroughly active process. I think we often think it's a passive process. If we're listening to someone, we're just a sponge. We just sit quietly and soak up whatever the speaker delivers. You may think that's your role now. I'm up the front, I do the work, and you just kick back and absorb what you hear. But this book shows us that that's far from the case. Listening, good listening, is thoroughly active. It requires energy, it requires effort, it requires love, it requires humility, it requires respect. This is what Mary is doing to Jesus in our passage. Jesus is invited to lodge at the home of Martha, and Mary, her sister, sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to his teaching. Verse 39 just says that she sat at the Lord's feet. A better translation is that she sat herself at the Lord's feet. Mary takes the initiative here. She actively places herself in a position to learn, in a position to listen as a disciple of the Lord. God has always put a high value on listening to his word. Look at some of these references that are above me from Isaiah. This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Or from James, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And then from our gospel, Luke, a little bit earlier on, Jesus says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. This is what Mary does. She listens to the Lord. But it seems a bit selfish, doesn't it? It seems even a little bit lazy. There's work to be done. Somebody needs to fire up the barbie. Somebody needs to chop up the salad vegetables. There's a meal to prepare. And poor old Martha's been left to do the work on her own. Martha certainly thinks it's unfair. Have a look at the next couple of verses. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's furious. Notice three aspects to her appeal. She appeals to Jesus' sensitivity. Don't you care? She appeals to Jesus' sense of justice, using those words that we've been well trained in since we were children. It's not fair. Finally, she comes right out and orders Jesus, tell her to help me. She's pretty confident she's got it right, isn't she? She's pretty self-righteous. She's confident that she's on the right track and Mary's on the wrong track. And she's got a point, I think. There is work to be done. There's a meal to prepare, and it's a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ, no less. Surely it is a time to get busy and get active. I think you'll agree, friends, that a lot of us are busy. We live very busy lives. There's work to be done, there are bills to pay, there are emails to respond to, there are kids' sporting games to get to, assignments to complete. And often we can feel like we're out of control. We're just responding to one crisis after the next crisis, putting out one fire after the next fire, never really on top of things, just trying to get to the next item on the to-do list. And now as Christians, we've got church, you know, we've got a full bulletin. Look at all the things that there are to do around here. It just makes life even more stressful, doesn't it? We can feel exhausted, stressed. And this was Martha. She's stressed out of her mind with what needs to be done. No wonder she's annoyed at Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. She expects that Jesus will give Mary a good clip behind the ears. But look at how Jesus responds. Verses 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus says to Martha, Mary, not you, Martha, Mary has made the right choice. Notice the contrasts that are going on here. Martha's worried and upset about many things, but Jesus says just one thing is needed. You see, as Martha frets and panics about the to-do list, she's actually missed the one fundamental thing on the to-do list, listening to Jesus. In her concern about the details, she's missed the fundamental. I really enjoy watching rugby union, and often I've seen a game being played, the Wallabies playing, they're looking strong early on, and then they just miss a tackle. The All Blacks or whoever they're playing bursts the line and scores. People write articles about what the Wallabies need to work on, but surely in the end, it's the basics, it's the fundamentals. It's holding the ball, it's not missing tackles. Neglect these basics, these fundamentals, and it doesn't matter how the other details look. You're going to lose. You're going to fail. Now, Martha here is concerned about the peripheral things, the details. But she's missed the big thing, the most important thing, which is to listen to Jesus. And secondly, we read there in our verse 42, Mary has chosen what is better. We could translate that, Mary has chosen the good portion or even the good meal. You see, Martha's been distracted getting the steak and chips ready, but she's missed out on the real meal. Mary, on the other hand, has chosen the good portion, the good meal. Now, this better meal is not a literal meal, but it's the words of Jesus. That's what Mary was feeding on. She was feeding on Jesus' words. And those words truly feed the soul. This has always been the case. Have a look at this verse from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I wonder if one of the reasons we get distracted from Jesus' teaching, like Martha did here in this passage, is that we don't really know how good Jesus' words are. We think of our Bible reading as a chore, and we use words like discipline. But really, reading the Bibles is feasting. It's feasting on Jesus' words. This is how the Psalms talk about it. Psalm 119, David says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." For of course, Jesus' words are about life and life in all of its abundance. Jesus' teaching is the teaching about the forgiveness of our sins, which he has provided through his death on the cross. Jesus' teaching is about how to live now that we're in a relationship with God. If we really believe this, if we really know this, we won't let anything get in the way of listening to Jesus' teaching, even things as important as serving. C.S. Lewis observed how in life we often scratch around with superficial things because we don't know how good God is and how good God's word is. Have a look at this quote here. He writes about how if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. But aim high, friends. Feast at Jesus' table. Feast upon Jesus' words. Jesus' words won't let you down. He won't leave you hungry or dissatisfied. As he says to Martha here, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. But what about us? What is this passage saying to us? The passage certainly isn't saying that we shouldn't serve, or that it's wrong to be busy. Just earlier in Luke's Gospel, Jesus has said that Christian discipleship means denying oneself, taking up one's cross, and following Jesus. That is a life of full and active service. Dedicated, sacrificial service is at the very heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But I think two things are being said here. Firstly, to know the season, that's the first thing. And secondly, to keep the main thing, the main thing. You see, part of Martha's problem was that she missed the season here. This was a season or a time for listening to Jesus. Verse 40 told us that Martha was distracted. And you're always distracted from one thing to another thing, aren't you? This was Martha. She was distracted from what she should have been doing, which was listening to Jesus. I mean, Jesus was in her home, teaching. It wasn't a time to be in the kitchen. Martha's concern with productivity and getting a meal on the table meant that she missed the season. Now, what does this mean for us? What season is the season for listening to Jesus? Surely the most important one is church. Well, that's why we gather. We gather to hear the word of our Lord at church. So it's worth us asking the question, what value do we place on church? What value do we place on meeting here? Now, of course, you guys are here, so I'm preaching to the converted. Well done. But it's worth pressing the issue a little bit. How often do we come to church? What priority does listening to the words of Jesus at church have for us? How easy is it for us to miss a Sunday? There are all sorts of other things we can be distracted with on Sundays, aren't there? Increasingly in our society, pressures on Sundays that pull us away from being able to commit to getting to church regularly. But Sunday isn't the time to be busy with other things. And no matter how good those things are, Sunday is the season for sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. Well, of course, it's not just a question of how often we come. We can come all the time and get this completely wrong. The key issue is our hearts, our attitude. And so again, we must ask ourselves, what attitude do we have to listening to Jesus at church? When the Bible's read, when the sermon is taught, are we listening? Or are we, like Martha, distracted by anxieties and concerns? Is our mind somewhere else entirely? Secondly, Martha's real problem, and I think our real problem, is one of priorities. You see, the main thing had dropped from being the main thing. It had become displaced, even by something as good as serving. And so let's come back to our calendar, to reflect on our calendars. What priority does Jesus' teaching, Jesus' words, have in your week? How much time do you spend listening to Jesus? And what quality of time in your week does Jesus get? You see, if we don't feed on Jesus' words, we'll end up becoming like I am when I miss out on a main meal. I become weak, lethargic, grumpy, irritable. Kind of like Martha is in our passage here. Even though I may appear to be really busy and doing lots of really good stuff. You see, Jesus' word is the source or the power that energizes us to serve. We must never let the service replace the source. Keep the main thing. The main thing. The songwriter Robert Robinson expressed how easily distracted we are. Let me close with a prayer. It's the third verse of his hymn, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
All that I need is in you, Jesus, the fountain of grace that overflows. All that I need is in you, Jesus. You are my only hope. Please stand and sing with me.